We thank you for Alan, and we ask that the message would come to us through his lips and that we would apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Hope everyone is well today. God gave man a special gift at creation. That's the gift to make free choice. But with that gift of free choice came responsibility. We're going to talk a little bit about the free choice that we can make and the responsibility that comes with that choice. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's Joshua 24:15. Joshua emphatically made his choice to stand with the Lord. He is asking others now that were the Israelites going into the promised land to make their choice as well. Stand with the world or stand with the Lord. Life is filled with choices or decisions. Doesn't matter which word we use, they're basically the same thing. We must choose when to go to bed, when to get up, what to eat, what not to eat, what to wear and what not to wear. We choose to do what to do with our time. We choose where we will go to work and where we will go to eat. Life is just filled with choices every day, all the time. Truly, about one of the most difficult things that any of us has to do on a regular basis in life is to make those choices. Because some of those choices can be more or less difficult just depending on the day. On some days, it's all we can do to decide what cereal to have for breakfast. But on other days, we can quite easily make life-altering decisions with hardly a second thought. For instance, I wonder how many of you have had to make a decision this week that was difficult, perhaps one that you didn't really want to make. I know that I have. I think every week we have those type of decisions. We have to prepare to make these difficult decisions. We have to make those decisions. We can't skip them. But even more importantly, we have to live with the outcome of those decisions and choices. They are really the cutting edge of our human life. Our ability to make wise choices versus the bad choices is ultimately what defines and shapes us as individuals. Whether we should say yes, whether we should say no. Sometimes we say yes too quickly, and sometimes we don't say no soon enough. Sometimes we even say no too much, because what we really want is not to be bothered. We really need to ask ourselves, maybe we should also say yes a little bit more often. Yes, I will, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Most of you are making a choice right now. You know what that choice is? It's the choices to continue investing your time in this sermon or to close your eyes and relax a little bit. You're making a decision right now on whether this sermon is going to be boring or whether it's going to be relevant to your life. So all the time, all day long, we are making choices. But with choices comes a level of responsibility. Unfortunately, this seems to have been forgotten over the last generation or two. What I have noticed is that in our society, we have been producing people who make choices but then ignore the responsibilities or try to blame others for the problems if the choices don't make them happy. They want someone else to protect them from making bad choices. For instance, if I get into financial trouble, it's not my fault. It's because of easy credit. The government needs to do something to protect me. If I develop lung cancer from smoking, it's not my fault. I can blame the cigarette companies, and they need to pay me. Or if I go into a rage and grab a gun and start shooting people, I'm not responsible. It's in my genes. I just can't help it. It's the way I am. And a popular one today, if I practice sexual perversions, it's not my fault. God made me this way. Those are all common examples I'm sure all of you can relate to, because they are very popular sayings nowadays, where as a society we have become experts essentially at blaming others for our choices. We want the ability and the right to make our choices, we just don't want to be responsible or accountable for them if they don't turn out to be so wise. And that can even happen here in church. We choose to stay away from church for a week or two just because we don't want to come, it's too much trouble. Or maybe we aren't as happy with the work or the decisions expected of us at church. We may begin to fall away from the Lord a little bit, and we say, but it's not my fault. I'm not to blame. It's the church's fault. They aren't friendly enough. Or the church doesn't meet my needs. They expect too much from me. It's boring. They don't sing the songs I like. But it's not my fault. This concept of taking personal responsibility for your own acts and the choices is unfortunately dwindling in our society today. People are quick to blame heredity, the environment, job pressures, poverty, prejudice, abuse, and anything else they can think of to blame for their problems today. But personally, I very strongly disagree with that. And with all the other excuses, and I want you to know that the Bible very clearly disagrees as well, because the Bible teaches we are responsible for our choices. Romans 14:12 says, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Think about that. Each of us will give an account himself to God. God is going to hold us responsible for the choices that we make. When we stand before Jesus at judgment, there won't be any hiding behind our excuses, no blaming others, no circumstances for the choices we made. Now, that's for humans. Now, if we were a tomato seed, we really wouldn't have any choice. You'd plant us into the ground, and we'd water, and up we would come, and we would be a tomato plant. There are no choices for that. The animals, the vegetation, there's no choices. God made them that way. But for us, he gave us that gift of choice, of deciding what we will do with our lives, how we will live it, whether we will seek the eternal kingdom that he offers us, or whether we will not, and we will seek the alternative choice. Because God made us higher than those plants and animals. We can choose to be good. We can choose to be bad. We can choose to obey God or to disobey, but ultimately, we are going to be responsible for those choices. Now, the Bible is filled with stories of men and women who had choices to make. Not all of them seemed dramatic at the time, but they had significant impact on their lives and on the lives of their descendants all the way to us today. For instance, think about Esau and Jacob. In Genesis 25, verses 27 to 31, it says, "Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked the stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob then said in verse 31, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day for that food.'" Now, the birthright was just an incredible thing back in the patriarchal system. That birthright carried the name, the family honor, the family everything. That was in the birthright of the firstborn son. Now, Esau had a choice to make. In reality, it was a very significant choice. But he made light of it. He didn't give enough thought before he spoke. In verses 32 to 34, continuing on, Esau said, "Look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau the bread and the stew of lentils, which he then ate and drank. He arose, and he went on his way. Thus it shows how Esau despised or did not care for his birthright. Now, was Esau really going to die? Of course not. Was he hungry? Yes. But this is a classic example out of the Bible of short-term satisfaction versus long-range, life-altering circumstances. Esau was hungry. I'm sure he was. We don't know how long he was out in the wilderness. We probably don't even know half of the story. He may have been out there a very long time, but even with all of that hunger, the momentary pain, was it worth it to sell his birthright for so much Campbell's lentil soup? Living in the moment. Now, have any of you made a serious choice in the spur of the moment, such as maybe quitting your job or school, or getting married or divorced, or not given a thought to those long-term consequences? What's interesting with that type of choice is at first you feel intensely satisfied, perhaps even powerful. By golly, I showed them. But ultimately, that future catches up with you. Later, when you have time to stop and to think about it, or when your stomach is full, you realize the folly of your action and that you acted without giving proper thought to the impact on your lives or on the lives of those around you and dependent on you. From the beginning of time, man has had to make decisions and choices. Adam and Eve had to make a decision, a choice to obey or to disobey God. And we know what choice they made. We can recognize rather clearly some of the repercussions that have flowed from that choice to us today, from that initial choice of them serving themselves rather than God. Abraham also had an important choice to make. Yes, he did choose God, and he was obedient to God, but he became impatient with God's timetable and decided to speed things up a bit. The result of this choice of his to lay with Hagar and not wait upon the Lord was the birth of Ishmael. Now that decision has affected life in Israel, the Middle East, the world over, even to this very day. Read the newspaper today and you will see the impact of Abraham's decision. And God also worked with ancient Israel many times. He called on them to make a choice. One very notable time whereas they were about to enter the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. Moses says to the people, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, if you choose the other path, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, from this passage, we can learn several notable lessons about the choices and decisions. We learn that there are preferred choices to make, that all choices are not necessarily equal. They could choose life and prosperity, or death and destruction. We learn that the one who gives the choices can have one that he or she feels is the best to be chosen. In this case, you could be obedient or not be obedient. But we also learn that the one offering choices can freely offer the opportunity to make a less wise choice. It isn't necessarily a choice if there is only one option. We learn, too, that there are effects that will flow from the choices that are made, and sometimes the effects can be incredibly great or unbelievably devastating. So in this circumstance, these people had the choice to choose life or to death, to be obedient or not to be obedient. If you choose God and you're obedient, you will live and increase and be blessed. If you don't choose God, if you are not obedient, then you will most certainly be destroyed. It really does seem like a very simple choice to make, but yet it has proven to be ever so difficult for so many people over all of the years. Now, not all decisions carry the weight of life or death. For instance, whether you choose the lamb or the steak from the menu when you go out to a restaurant is not going to be a life-altering choice. It's not as potentially devastating or beneficial as whether you choose to submit to God or not. Every decision we make in life is based on the decision, choose God or not. Live with the world, live with the Lord. If we choose life, it means choosing to worship and to obey God. When we choose to ask and trust God, He will instruct us in the way that we have chosen. Once we choose God, He goes into action to support that choice and to bring increasingly good results from it. We live in this world, yet we are told not to love the things of the world. There are differences between the Christian and the non-Christian, and we ought not to feel badly because that is so. It is the way life is. But yet we have Christians today who are trying to justify bad choices in moral issues. Tell you, do not do that. These people don't want to believe that our loving God would not tolerate alternative lifestyles. My God wouldn't do that. I'm denying, even though it says clearly in the Word, I know my God better. He wouldn't do that. But the Bible clearly tells us, follow the Word of God. And all lifestyles are not equally acceptable, equally loving, and equally beneficial to a society. That's just the way it is. Christians have to stand up with a spine, with a backbone, and accept that rather than trying to simply blend in and accept tolerance as God's will and not be noticed in society, we know what is right. We have God's word that tells us clearly. We are, after all, the salt and the light of the world. Jesus didn't say that to everyone, that they're the salt and the light. God is our creator, and He makes the rules. We can choose to follow those rules or not follow them, but the outcome based on our decision has already been made. We don't need to follow the ways of the world because it's politically correct or because somebody's going to make you feel guilty by not loving enough. The reality of it is we follow the way of the Lord. That's all that matters to us for the long term. So this choice, it is central to humanity. As I said before, it sets us apart from the rest of God's creation. It's an important activity in our everyday lives. Because when you make one choice, it ends the potential of other choices in that particular area. Whenever you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. A popular saying that I always remember goes, the choices you make today determines the choices you have available to make tomorrow. Because if you make various choices today, you are saying no to something else. Give that one some thought, at least a little bit. The choices you make today determines the choices you have available to make tomorrow. Now, next week, as a church here, we have a rather significant decision to make in our congregation, whether or not to invest in purchasing property for a new worship facility. Now, this is not a choice to be made lightly. It's going to have long-lasting impact to each of us. The problem is that either choice, yes or no, could be the right or the wrong one. Either way, there will be opportunities locked in or opportunities lost. And instead of making a rash decision, as Esau did, or an impatient decision, as Abraham did, we must choose to think it over, to pray on it, to discuss the merits of each choice so we can be as fully understand what each choice means to our limited abilities. None of us has the ability to see the future, but we trust in the Lord, who does know the beginning from the end, who does know what choice is best for us, and we put our decision into the Lord's hand. We have to trust and have faith that we are on the path that God wants us to be on. For instance, if God wants us to be in that facility, He will deliver it to us. I'm very sure of that. Now, I have talked at length about making wise choices instead of bad choices. But what is the key to making a wise decision? How do we know if it's a wise decision? Well, obviously, we have to listen to God. If you want better insight and discernment, you need to learn the importance of reverence for the Lord and trusting Him, because He shows us how to distinguish right from wrong and how to find the right decision every time. Today, I want to give four practical ways to test a decision to see if it is following God's will for us. Number one, is it in harmony with the Word of God? Is what I am about to do okay with what God says in the Bible? This is always the very first test to be making. In life, we have to decide what's going to be the thing that we base your life on. What is going to be the ultimate authority for what you do? And there are two choices. You base your decision on God's word or on what the world values, what God says or what people say. If you base your life around the popular opinion of the day, you're always going to be out of date. Things are constantly changing. What was in vogue 10 years ago is not in vogue today. Society's opinions are constantly changing. There is no solid foundation. It is always on the move. If you base your life on opinions, popular culture, political correctness, or opinion polls, you don't have a life foundation to build on. You don't have principles to live by. On the other hand, if you base your life on God's word, the truth never changes. Truth is always truth. If God said something was wrong 10,000 years ago, it was wrong 5,000 years ago, it was wrong 500 years ago, and it's still wrong today. I don't care what political correctness says. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. We have a choice to build our life on a shaky, constantly changing foundation, or to build our life on what God says, which can never change, which gives you that solid foundation, while everything else is up in the air. If you reject, disobey, or ignore God's principles, you are the one who is going to get hurt. So when making a decision, the first test is, what does God have to say about it in His Word? Number two, would I want everyone to know about this decision I am making? If you're making a decision and you're worrying about others will think about it, then it's probably a good indication that it's not the right decision to make. Bad decisions always lead to secrets, and those secrets always lead to pain in our lives. Proverbs 10:9 says, "The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out." Now, it doesn't say that they might be found out, or there's even a high probability that it'll be found out. No, Proverbs says, "You will be found out." So when making decisions, you have to look at this integrity test of Proverbs. We've all done it. If you're about to make a choice and you know it's wrong and that it's a choice you shouldn't make, but you kind of think, well, I want it and no one's really going to find out about it. But immediately as you make that decision, you start thinking, well, someone probably is going to find out about it. And you feel the fear that comes from that, you know, incorrect decision. You know you have violated this integrity test. The test of integrity is that your public life and your private life matches. That your walk and your talk are the same. The truth is that when it comes to integrity, even if you manage to fool everyone else, you cannot fool yourself. The Bible says that we reap what we sow, and that's how it is with life. God does forgive us for all the wrong things we do, but that forgiveness doesn't free us from the pain and the consequences that come from those decisions. You can be forgiven and still struggle with the problems that come from the decisions. You can be forgiven, but still have the broken pieces that were resulting from that decision. When we think about things that we know are wrong, it's easier than with those gray areas where we're not really quite sure is it right or if it's wrong. So how do you decide in these gray areas? It's not so clear. Romans 14:14 says, if someone believes that something is wrong, then he shouldn't do it, because for him it is wrong. When this verse is really quite simple. When in doubt, don't. I know in my personal life I have used this many times because I'm not really sure what the Bible says about some things. I question, it really could be this, it possibly could be that. I read it two different ways. But I look to myself and I say, what do I think about it? Does it feel right? Does it feel wrong? If I'm not sure, I'm going to play it safe on the side that I know will not offend my Lord or other folks. So if you're not sure, don't. Number three, could it become addicting to me, or could it begin to control or dominate my life? So no matter how appealing something is, or how cool it seems, or how much fun you have with it, if something starts to dominate your life and control it, then it is a bad decision. No matter how popular something is, no matter how good it is for someone else, if it dominates your life, if it becomes addicting to you, it's a bad decision. Now, why is this so important? Because whatever dominates your life becomes your God. The very first commandment God gave said to have no other gods before me. God knew how easy it would be for us to get addicted to our idols. Now, we oftentimes think of idols as those maybe little stone statues, you know, that people put on a shelf, things like a little Buddha or something. But it doesn't have to be that way. We do have idols today. There are lots of things that we can become addicted to. Are you dominated by your work? Are you addicted to shopping? Are you addicted to money? Are you addicted to the internet? All of these things can take over your life. They can take over your time, and therefore you become addicted to them. How do you know if you've fallen into that kind of addiction? How do you know if something's starting to dominate your life? Well, the number one question to ask yourself then is, what do I think about the most? What do I spend my time on? When I'm alone, when I'm relaxed, when I find myself thinking, what is it that I think about? Because that's what's dominating your life. Now, it's a hard thing to admit. Individually, we don't really want to admit that something's dominating our life. But if we force ourselves to look at it, we will find out what it is. It is hard to be honest with ourselves. If right now you're thinking, well, no, I'm really not addicted to this thing, guess what? It could be that. Only Jesus Christ should have that kind of place in our lives, the first place in our life. He is the only one worthy of that place in our lives. Anything else we put into that place will eventually dominate, control, and ruin our lives. The fourth item, will it harm other people? One of the biggest mistakes we make in life is we forget how much our actions will influence and affect other people. Every day, we're tempted to make decisions that may be in the best thing for me, but may have a devastating effect on the people around me. We need to think first, will it harm other people? Will it be a stumbling block to them? Unfortunately, our culture today says to think of yourself first. What do you need? What do you desire? If it feels good, do it. But the real truth of it is that God expects you to think more than just of yourself. Revelations tells us that one day God's judgment is coming. As we mentioned before, we are going to have to stand before God and give an account for our choices and our actions. God takes this very seriously. In Romans 14, verses 12 and 13, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So try to live in such a way that you will never make your brother stumble by letting him see you doing something that he thinks
is wrong.
Some choices are easy to make. Some are difficult. You and I are who we are today because of the choices we made yesterday. The choices we make today will have an impact on the choices we're allowed to make tomorrow. They establish a pattern and a foundation in our life. So we are free either to love God or not. He invites us to love him. He wants us to love him. He urges us to love him. He came that we might love him. But in the end, the choice is yours. The choice is mine. It's each of us an individual choice. If we were to take that choice from each of us, for him to force us to love him, then there would be no choice and there would be no love. It is something that we must do willingly out of our own heart. God has explained the benefits. He's outlined the promises. And he's articulated very clearly the consequences. But then in the end, he leaves the choice to us. Do you realize the power and the responsibility that God gave each of us? You and I can afford many wrong decisions in our life. You can choose the wrong career and survive, the wrong city and survive, the wrong house and survive. You can even choose the wrong mate and survive. But there is one choice that must be made correctly, and that is your eternal destiny. You must choose God for eternal life. So I read from Joshua 24:15 again. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God gave each of us the freedom of choice. It is a huge responsibility. We choose to live according to God's word and strive for eternal life, or we choose to live according to the world's way and certain death. At the time of judgment, there will be no one to blame for our decisions, no one except ourselves. So please, make the right choice in life. Let us bow. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you gave us the freedom of choice. And we ask, Father, that you would help us with those decisions. We thank you so much, Father, for the Holy Spirit which dwells in us and helps us to understand and to interpret and to have the conscience and to make the right decisions, Lord. We're so very thankful that you have given us the tools, Father. You have shown us the way. Father, we just ask that you would continue to be with us, that you would allow us to share our lives with you, that we would look to you first, that we would pray upon our difficult decisions first, Lord, that we would take the time to understand the importance, but also, Lord, that we would accept the responsibility that comes with them. You created us unique, Lord, and for that we are very grateful. We are very thankful, Father, and we hope that that trust that you gave to us will be returned by us through our faith and commitment to you in all that we do. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us, all the blessings that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.